because importers are reluctant to import goods due to undue delays at the ports, which affect their business transactions. The General Secretary of the Public Services Workers Union, PSWU, of GRA, Richard Ampabeng, dropped the hint at an extraordinary national executive meeting of the union in Kofodia in the Eastern Region. Our Eastern Regional correspondent, Stephen Mensah, has the rest of the story.
The meeting brought together about 30 participants from all sectors of the GRA, comprising Internal Revenue Service, VAT Service, and Custom Exercise and Preventive Service. Mr. Mpabi noted that the GRA has not been able to get closer to its targets. This is because the target set by the Ministry of Finance is unattainable, even though GRA recognizes the need to increase revenue collection. He said the union is not opposed to any form of revenue mobilization, but advised all the different forces given the task not to flout the rules and regulations. He pointed out that the 60,000 Ghana cedis ranked in by the special task force within 2 weeks could have been doubled if the old personnel with experience had been provided with the needed resources. Mr. Mpabeng said GRA officers are not monsters and expressed their determination to work sincerely for Ghana to get more revenue to develop the nation. He appealed to government to hasten slowly rather than putting more pressure on them. This, he noted, will stifle the growth of the local industries and commercial enterprises. He also cautioned industries, companies, firms, importers and exporters against condoning and conniving with GRA officials to evade taxes since it affects the nation's economy. Mr. Mpabeng urged the GRA personnel not to be deterred by recent reports in the media and keep on discharging their duties according to the ethics of the institution.
Stephen Mensah's report.
The Debt Management Compliance and Enforcement Unit of the Ghana Revenue Authority has apprehended 3 Chinese for illegally operating in the country. They are engaged in manufacturing of mattresses without paying taxes to government. The company, which operates under the unregistered name Huanxian Delhi Company Limited, located at Dom, has been operating for more than 3 months without any form of license. The assistant commissioner in charge of the unit, Maxwell Chachu, tells Radio Ghana that following a tip-off, the GRA has been monitoring the activities of a company for a while. Mercy Dako has the rest of the story.
When officials of the GRA, together with the media, paid an unannounced visit to the company, some of the Chinese operators took to their heels. They were, however, caught by the immigration and police officers who accompanied the team. When questioned, the Chinese operators, who were initially reluctant to speak, said that their director has traveled to China and that they have been operating for only 3 months. This, according to Mr. Chachu, was not true, as records show that they have been operating since November last year. Mr. Chachu noted that the company undervalued their imports and therefore paid lower duties.
This company has been reported upon. I've been working on them for some time now. We sent people here to come and look at the environment and buy their products. And the price they gave us when we went to other such products in the market, their price were far lower. So we knew that there was something wrong. We looked at their custom declaration documents and also discovered that they grossly undervalue their imports. And then when they sell the goods, they don't also charge the tax and collect it. So with that, they could be able to sell below the normal market price. So we came here and actually discovered that even though we have seen about 2 VAT invoices, none of them had been issued. And they claimed they had been operating for 3 months. But we know that they had been operating beyond that 3 months, according to their custom declaration documents that they brought in. And we also learned from the informer that they were operating somewhere in Kasua before, and they moved to this place. So we came and actually we have seen that they have been selling a lot of items to other towns in Ghana without charging the tax and collecting the tax. We also established that some of the Chinese working with them do not have the appropriate document to stay here and work. So we are locking up the place because the revenue is at risk. We lock up the place until those things are settled before we open up.
Aside these, workers at the company work under hazardous conditions due to the harsh chemicals used in the manufacture of mattresses. The company did not have a clearance from the EPA, neither did they have Ghana Standards Authority certification. This, Mr. Chachu noted, is criminal, as it is not certain whether the required chemicals and equipment are used in their operations. He said the GRA will devise methods to clamp down on companies who are using dubious means to evade and avoid taxes. The company has since been locked by the GRA pending further investigations. The arrested officials are being held by the immigration authorities.
Mercy Darkon reporting.
The Minister of Energy and Petroleum, Emmanuel Lamakofibua, says government has taken the bold step to hold departments and agencies that owe the ECG huge sums of money accountable. He said people who are caught stealing electricity must be ruthlessly punished. He noted that Ghanaians must be educated on how to use electricity to ensure that utility providers render good services to the nation. The minister made this known on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News.
Government has begun a very bold step, and this is something that His Excellency the President is so adamant and determined to do. If you saw what we've done, budget for the things that we know we can pay. And we began the clearinghouse mechanism on a monthly basis, sitting down with the utility, ECG, VRA, GRICO, and we look at it and say, okay, who owes who? Let's clear it. Make sure we know how much does government owe you. You know, the people of Ghana must know. For example, we used to be that ministries, departments, agencies, all secondary schools, polytechnic, technical schools, universities will send all their bills every month to the government of Ghana, pay the bill. No questions asked. The issue is that how long can we continue to do this thing? We must begin the process of holding everybody accountable. And I think that the process we started is going to help address these problems in the long run. It also means that people who are sleepy, and I believe that the utility calls that have been introduced are performing, and we must continue to make that very effective so that people who are caught stealing electricity are ruthlessly punished. And these are all very important, because in the long term, if we talk about all of these things, we must know that we all have a responsibility. As we do this, we must also address efficiency measures and educate ourselves to know how to use electricity.
Minister of Energy and Petroleum Emmanuel Amakofibua.
The communications manager of ECG, William Boateng, says the fact that the electricity company makes marginal profits does not mean tariffs should not go up. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Boateng said it is necessary to increase tariff to take care of other overhead costs. He also explained measures the company is undertaking to deal with illegal connections. Mr. Boateng spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
We have started already more scientific methods in our approach towards arresting these illegal connections. For example, we started what we call the boundary metering. Normally, we have it's an original level. Now we have moved the illegal connection or the loss control web to the district level. So we meter the transformer at the district level. Metering of the transformers tells us how much we bought and how much we supplied in an area. So if the total is not the same in terms of supply and revenue, it means that there's a lot of, we can be able to calculate the losses and then we can zoom in at a particular district at a time. That is why we started what we call the high voltage distribution system at Adenta, Medina, Swami Magazine. It means that we are able to zoom specifically or areas that scientifically we can prove that the data connection are high. So we are working assiduously at it.
If you talk about making about 30 million and over, then we shouldn't be talking about tariff increases, should we?
Well, we should. We should. If you are improving your efficiency level, doesn't mean that your overhead cost is not going up. What we are seeing that the year 2010, 2011, when we had the tariff adjustment, the major one, we made marginal increase. We made marginal profit, so to speak. Profit. Since then, we started going down. Why? Because there's a problem with depreciation and there's a problem with inflation. These are two major components that cannot ignore. So yes, your overhead costs will go up. Petroleum products are going up. Cost of living, literally everything from paper to cement, everything has gone up. So it means that it's also affecting our overhead cost. So if that balance, if we are able to get that balance, it means that no matter what, we'll be collecting all the money we are talking about. This will go and collect everything. We'll collect everything. Yes, we'll collect it. But then this power we have sold already, or energy we've sold already. And we have calculated in our books already. But day in, day out, our overhead cost is going up.
Mr. Boateng said the World Bank report that purports to indict the ECG for poor performance is not balanced because it did not mention their numerous achievements.
In fact, it didn't dump any personnel person. It made mention of board and so on, but it's not the personnel. I'm not sure of the personnel. But we have a problem with the report, like we said earlier. I think that it is too one-sided. It's not balanced. If you said it's a 2012 report, how come you not capture our numerous interventions in reducing our loss, which translates into efficiency? We had a problem. They did not record the fact that in the Southern region, apart from South Africa, we are the highest in creating that accessibility to power, 72%. And when we are creating that sort of accessibility, where we are taking power to the villages, the community, we are not looking at profitability. The government, if we are looking at assisting the vulnerable and the poor in terms of power distribution so that they can start some economic activity by themselves. So we are not looking at these things. All of course affects negatively because you're not making profit in those villages, deprived villages. These things all were not put on paper to balance the equation and comment what we are doing. And then so we're expecting us, you ask us to do better in other areas. You also comment on what we have done or we are doing before.
Communications Manager of the ECG, William Boateng.
Meanwhile, the Communications Manager of the ECG has once again denied that workers of ECG take fat salaries as reported in the media. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Boateng said a rejoinder has been made to this effect.
Thank you. No, that is not true. That is not true at all. I think that when we started asking about this time, we started debating this issue about time. There's all sorts of information flying on around. It is not true. You know the workers, they stay within the communities and you know their standard of living. And so it is never true. As we said, release the rejoinder. It is not true.
Communications Manager of ECG, William Boateng.
Work on the switchyard of the VRA Abwaze thermal plant in Takrady, which exploded yesterday, will be completed within 2 days. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the communications director of VRA, Samuel Fletcher, explained that only one out of the 3 circuit breaker poles caught fire. He said, though power will be lost from that part of the turbine, it does not necessarily mean that load shedding will be intensified.
It's not as if the plant is in flames. In fact, the incident did not happen at the plant or the turbine areas itself. It happened at what we call the switchyard. It's the first substation. And even at the first substation, it is just an isolated incident. It's part of the first substation where you have what we call circuit breaker poles. There are 3 circuit breaker poles that are connected to the steam component of the plant. One of the breaker poles gave way, and that is what caused the explosion. Our firemen were immediately there, and they put the situation under control. We have the parts, so they're already being fixed. In the next day or two, they should be done, and then the steam component should be up. I need to emphasize that it's not the whole of Abwaze thermal plant which exploded, just as an isolated unit at the switchyard. What it also means is that we lost the power that is coming from the steam component. The steam component itself is working, but when the power is generated, where it goes is where the problem happened. And so the rest of the gas turbines are all working in very perfect condition. It doesn't necessarily mean that load shedding will intensify. In fact, because we're moving into the weekend, the load is very, very manageable. So there's no cause for panic or alarm.
Communications Director of VRA, Samuel Fletcher.
The Ghana National Fire Service, GNFS, has asked Metropolitan Municipal and District Assemblies, MMDAs, to take the implementation of market fire audits and recommendations more seriously. The service also insists on the need for developers to respect building codes before certification. The Acting Chief Fire Officer, Brigadier General John Bosco Guiri, who stated this at the Daily Graphic CEOs and Stakeholders Breakfast Forum, said management of GNFS has also resolved to arrange regular meetings with its partners, including the Electricity Company of Ghana and the Ghana Water Company, towards prevention of fires and rescue activities. Here's a report by Yaya Kwamwa.
The program, which is under the theme Ending Preventable Fire Outbreaks in Ghana, Stakeholders' Perspective, brought together participants in the sector to interact and brainstorm on how to curb the frequent fire outbreaks in the country. The Acting Chief Fire Officer, Brigadier General John Bosco Guiri, said indiscipline and blatant disregard for observation and adherence to fire safety measures by the public has largely contributed to the fire outbreaks. He said the service will continue to collaborate with its partners to ensure that the right things are done to reduce the fire outbreaks.
We will continue our regular meeting with strategic partners to strategize in our collaborative effort towards any eventuality in relation to fire accidents and rescue activities. Enforcement of LI 1724 with the help of the police through the formation of safety task forces in the various regions. Markets must endeavor to employ the services of fire safety officers to ensure safety in their premises at all times to complement our effort. MMDAs need to implement all fire audit reports that we submit to them.
The Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Nilante Vanderpoel, said one of the causes of the frequent fire outbreaks is abuse.
Yaya Kwamwe's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Recent Ghana Revenue Authority survey indicates sharp reduction in imports. ECG continues to defend decision to be allowed to increase tariffs as government institutes measures to help recover debts owed by state departments and agencies. GJA denied access to incarcerated editor of Searchlight newspaper at Hope Prisons, and dozens reported killed in running skirmishes between pro- and anti-Morsi supporters in Egypt.
Moving on, Vice President Pakwesi Misaasa has asked Ghanaians to jealously guard the country's security and stability. He said promoting this is the surest way of enhancing the socio-economic development of a country. Mr. Emisaasa acknowledged the role the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center has been playing in promoting regional peace and stability. In a speech read for him at a joint graduation at the center at Teshi in Accra, he advised the graduates to use the skills and knowledge acquired to the benefit of society. Sesaya has filed this report.
31 students graduated with Master of Arts degree in Conflict, Peace and Security, while 42 also obtained Master of Arts degree in Gender, Peace and Security. A minute's silence was observed for a member of the class, Emmanuel Abankwafuri, who died in a motor accident in the course of the year. In a speech read for him by the Minister of Education, Professor Jinano Opokuagyemai, Vice President Emisaasa stated that Africa can only come out of its development challenges when solutions are found to unrest caused in part by inequitable distribution of wealth and social amenities.
We are all looking forward to the time when the name of Africa will resonate ideas of peace, togetherness, which is what really makes us Africans, and not conflict. The government and people of Ghana do acknowledge the determination to create a peaceful society. Our country operates one of the known best democracies on our continent. This is not to say that we have not had our own levels of tension, but as we continue to manage them, we implore everybody's patience and respect to ensure that the name we have made for ourselves as a country remains intact. Ghana, therefore, has a role to support other African countries to create conditions of stability. This remains an essential part of the foreign policy initiative of this government.
The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelifa, called for the involvement of men in issues that affect women and children in conflict resolution.
We are reminded of the strategic plan for implementation of the UN Resolution 1325. This is the first formal and legal document that requires parties in a conflict to respect women's rights and to support their participation in peace negotiations and in post-conflict reconstruction. But we must not lose sight of the fact that the issue of gender does not restrict us to measures for women only. If we do not successfully implement these measures and involve more men in peacekeeping, post-conflict resolution, then we will have challenges.
Emmanuel Yeboah Abibio emerged the overall best student for the Master of Arts degree in Conflict, Peace and Security, while Abati Emibet Getachao was adjudged the overall best for the Master of Arts degree in Gender, Peace and Security. The second graduation climaxed the 10th anniversary of the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. Seth Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The Ghana Journalists Association, GJA, has expressed disappointment at its inability to see the editor of the Searchlight newspaper, Ken Crunchy, when they went to the Hope Prisons to visit him. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the president of the association, Roland Afilmoni, said since the GJA is bent on seeing him, the regional executives will try and visit him wherever he's been kept. He said visiting Mr. Crunchy in prison does not mean supporting what he did. Mr. Moni spoke to Agatha Asamoah on Behind the News.
The reality on the ground that the set of Nasa hoping to see the editor of the Searchlight was incarcerated last Tuesday for criminal contempt. It was necessary for us to show the strongest solicitude as a member of the association because we are constitutionally and morally obliged to rally to the aid of any of our members who find themselves like difficult circumstances. But unfortunately, because when it was raining, we were set to fall barred from entering the prison gate. But after persistent appeals backed by our regional executives, we were allowed entry to the prison. And there with the oversight charge who told us that normally when it rains, the prisoners are made to go in. The doors suddenly shut against them. And it was important for us to see him. And we were also told that it was past visiting hours. But earlier we had heard that Ken had exceeded the number of visitors visiting in a week. So we could pull all the strength to see him, but we did not succeed in seeing him. That we had done our part.
You mentioned that the prison authorities cited the rains as the reason why you could not see your colleague. But we have also picked snippets of reports that you couldn't see Ken because he might have been transferred to another prison. Has it come to your attention or notice?
Yes, that's what we are picking up. So we will tell our regional executive to follow up to wherever he is. We are told he's in the country. Since we are bent on seeing him, we will send a delegation to reach out to him and then to present our donation to him and to other inmates who, some due to circumstances beyond our control, find themselves behind bars.
Your visit to Ken Crunchy, to some observers, it may be seen as supporting your colleague in his action. Is that the case?
We said it that we will never turn our back on our own. We don't condone wrongdoing, something which is ethically wrong, will never find our acceptance, let alone our endorsement.
President of GGA, Roland Afilmoni.
The Accra High Court has dismissed the National Labour Commission suit against the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission for its refusal to enforce a directive on the payment of conversion difference to the Government and Hospital Pharmacists Association of Ghana, GOSPA. The High Court, presided over by Justice Ajet Nassam, stated that the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission had shown by the pay slips of pharmacists exhibited in court that they had complied with the directive to pay pharmacists the conversion difference, and this evidence was neither rebutted by the National Labour Commission nor the pharmacist. Justice Ajet Nassam reprimanded the pharmacists for not fulfilling their promise at the last sitting of a court to bring a letter indicating that they had called off their strike. He therefore ordered the pharmacist to resume work immediately. Justice Nassam ruled that the industrial action by essential services are in breach of the Labour Act.
The 29th edition of National Farmers Day has been launched in Accra with a call on stakeholders to intensify the use of modernized farming technologies to control post-harvest losses. The launch coincided with the presentation of the Food and Agriculture Organization's awards to President John Dramani Mahama. The Minister of Food and Agriculture, Clement Kofi Umado, who launched the awards, said post-harvest losses are a major threat to food security. Hence, a reduction strategy should be a major priority for stakeholders. Linda Goji has more.
Reducing post-harvest losses for sustainable food security and nutrition is the theme for this year's National Farmers Day. Post-harvest losses have been a major challenge which continue to affect the food chain in the country. The Minister of Food and Agriculture, Clement Kofi Humado, said the theme for the celebration is timely as government finds ways to address future losses. He called for efforts from the private sector to complement government's efforts in reducing post-harvest losses.
The theme for this year's National International Farmers Day is timely because this year we are facing increased harvest of food staples in various parts of the country, which the ministry is challenged to manage. Ghana experiences annual post-harvest losses estimated between 25% and 30% of total agricultural produce. We would like to seek support from our nucleus farmers to offer post-harvest management techniques and facilities to our agros.
That was the Minister of Food and Agriculture, Clement Kofi Humadu.
A Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of development authorities, Dr. Mustafa Ahmed, says has asked the board and management of the Savannah Accelerated Development Authority, SADA, to be above political consideration in the investment and operational decision that they make. He called for the participation of all stakeholders in SADA activities to make it a success. Dr. Mustafa made the call at the launch of the Sicily Cool Pond Integrated Water Management Project in Accra. He asked Ghanaians to minimize the politicization of major development initiatives such as SADA.
First Lady Mrs. Lordina Mahama has called on the youth with passion for catering to pursue it and acquire the necessary training from professional institutions. She said since delivering quality service is one of the major challenges facing the hospitality industry, one must be well-trained, committed, and love what they do to succeed. Mrs. Mahama was speaking at the 45th anniversary and 42nd graduation ceremony of Flair Catering Services in Accra. Nana Omari has the details.
Established in 1968, Flair Catering has provided diverse services to the country for the past 45 years. Its objective is to provide a better customer care by rendering personalized services with constant supervision. First Lady Mrs. Lordina Mahama, who is also an old student, commended Flair for the knowledge she gained. She noted that to put a stop to unprofessional catering services, there is a need for caterers to be trained well to enable them to deliver quality services.
Training in catering and the professional grooming Flair office is a great platform in today's booming hospitality industry. I therefore want to advise any young person who has a passion for catering to go for it, but be prepared for the hours and commitment needed because you will need to love what you do in order to succeed in this challenging industry. Delivering quality services is one of the major challenges facing the hospitality industry. It is an essential condition for success, and we cannot afford to continue to allow unprofessionalism to dent the image of the sector.
Mrs. Lordina Mahama.
In news elsewhere, 26 people have died in the Egyptian capital of Cairo and Alexandria in clashes between supporters and opponents of the ousted President Mohamed Morsi. The violence came after three pro-Morsi demonstrators were killed by security forces in another part of the capital. Troops later restored calm in Cairo, but nationwide violence left some 26 people dead and 318 injured.
The Malian military says its troops have reached the northern city of Kidal for the first time since they were chased out last year by Tuareg separatist group. The move comes amid a peace agreement between the government and the separatist fighters last month. Inhabitants of the remote northern desert town disclosed that about 200 soldiers arrived at Kidal military camp on a convoy of pickup trucks.
The presidents of both Nicaragua and Venezuela have indicated their countries could offer political asylum to U.S. fugitive Edward Snowden. Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro said he would give asylum to intelligence leaker who is believed to be held up in a transit area of Moscow Airport. Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega says his country would do so if circumstances permit him.
To end the news, the main points again. A recent Ghana Revenue Authority survey has shown sharp reduction in imports. The communications manager of ECG, William Boateng, says the fact that the company makes marginal profits does not mean tariffs should not go up. The Ghana Journalists Association, GJA, was yesterday denied access to the editor of the Searchlight newspaper, Ken Crunchy, when they went to the Hope prisons to visit him. And 26 people have died in the Egyptian capital of Cairo and Alexandria in clashes between supporters and opponents of ousted President Mohamed Morsi. The news was presented by Mercy Sowa
and Eugenia Sumedusechi in Accra.